Leviticus 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the person with leprosy on the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to a place outside of the camp. Then the priest shall look, and if the leprous infection has been healed in the person with leprosy, then the priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds, cedar wood, a scarlet thing, and a hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slaughter the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it together with cedar wood, the scarlet string, and hyssop, and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over the running water. He shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and bathe in water, and be clean. And afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. Then it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and be clean. Now on the eighth day he is to take two male lambs without defect, and a yearling ewe lamb without defect, and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil, and the priest who is going to pronounce him clean shall present the person to be cleansed and the offerings before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then the priest shall take 1 male lamb and bring it as a guilt offering with 1 log of oil, and present them as a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughter the sin offering and the burnt offering, at the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also take some of the log of oil, and pour it into his left palm. The priest shall then dip his right hand finger into the oil that is in his left palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil 7 times before the Lord. Of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right earlobe of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering. As for the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm, he shall put it on the head of the one to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. The priest shall next offer the sin offering, and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Then afterward he shall slaughter the burnt offering. The priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be clean. But if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take 1 male lamb for a guilt offering as a wave offering to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil, and 2 turtle doves, and 2 young doves, which are within his means. The one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. Then on the 8th day he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest, at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord. The priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall offer them as a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the lamb of the guilt offering, and the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also pour some of the oil into his left palm, and with his right hand finger the priest shall sprinkle some of the oil that is in his left palm 7 times before the Lord. The priest shall then put some of the oil that is in his palm on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the guilt offering. Moreover, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, to make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. He shall then offer one of the turtle doves, or young doves, which are within his means. He shall offer what he can afford, the one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering, together with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement before the Lord on behalf of the one to be cleansed. This is the law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited for his cleansing. The Lord spoke further to Moses and to Aaron, saying, When you enter the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you as a possession, and I put a spot of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, Something like a spot of leprosy has become visible to me in the house. The priest shall then command that they empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the spot, so that everything in the house need not become unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in to look at the house. So he shall look at the spot, and if the spot on the walls of the house has greenish or reddish depressions and appears deeper than the surface, the priest shall come out of the house, to the doorway, and quarantine the house for 7 days. Then the priest shall return on the 7th day and make an inspection. If the spot has indeed spread on the walls of the house, the priest shall order them to put out the stones with the spot on them, and throw them away at an unclean place outside the city. And he shall have the house scraped all around inside. And they shall dump the plaster that they scrape off at an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and replace the discarded stones, and he shall take other plaster and replaster the house. If, however, the spot breaks out again in the house after he has pulled out the stones and scraped the house, and after it has been replastered, then the priest shall come in and make an inspection. If he sees that the spot indeed has spread in the house, it is a malignant spot in the house. It is unclean. The owner shall, therefore, tear down the house, its stones, its timbers, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall take them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes into the house during the time that he has quarantined it becomes unclean until evening. Likewise, whoever lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. If, on the other hand, the priest comes in and makes an inspection, and the spot has not indeed spread in the house after the house has been replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the spot has not reappeared. To cleanse the house, then, he shall take 2 birds, cedar wood, a scarlet string, and hyssop, and he shall slaughter the 1 bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. Then he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet string with the live bird, and dip them in the blood of the slaughtered bird, as well as in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. So he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water, along with the live bird, the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet string. However, he shall let the live bird go free outside the city into the open field. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it will be clean. This is the law for any spot of leprosy, even for a scale, and for the leprous garment or house, and for a swelling, for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when they are unclean and when they are clean. This is the law of leprosy. Luke 9. Now he called the 12 together, and gave them the power and authority over all the demons, and the power to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for all who do not receive you, when you leave that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." And as they were leaving, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of the old had risen. Herod said, "I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?" And he kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this, and followed him. And he welcomed them and began speaking to them about the kingdom of God, and curing those who had need of healing. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came up and said to him, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, because here we are in a secluded place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." But they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. But he said to his disciples, "Have them recline to eat in groups of about 50 each. They did so, and had them all recline. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and, looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them, and gave them to the disciples again and again, to serve the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" They answered and said, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." But he warned them, and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the 3rd day. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it. For what good does it do a person if he gains the whole world, but loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." About 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James, and went up on a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothes became white and gleaming. And behold, 2 men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men who were standing with him. And as these 2 men were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, is it good that we are here? And let's make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." not realizing what he was saying. But while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came from the cloud, saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, and a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he is my only son." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth. And only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Now, while he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was astonished at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "As for you, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be handed over to men." But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not comprehend it. And they were afraid to ask him about this statement. Now, an argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, took a child and had him stand by his side. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great." John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him, because he does not follow along with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him, for the one who is not against you is for you." When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. And they did not receive him, because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going on the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at my home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brothers and sisters, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but only as fleshly, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to consume it. But even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like ordinary people? For when one person says, "I am with Paul," and another, "I am with Apollos," are you not ordinary people? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now, the one who plants and the one who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another building is on it. But each person must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Take care that no one deceives himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in his age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. For it is written, He is the one who catches the wise by their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are useless. So then, no one is to be boasting in people, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Proverbs 19:10-19. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A person's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. A king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the quarrels of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and a lazy person will suffer hunger. One who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but one who is careless of conduct will die. One who is gracious to a poor person lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A person of great anger will suffer the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Psalm 40:1-10. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he reached down to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud, and he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who have become involved in falsehood. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders of which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is no one to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. You have not desired my sacrifice and meal offering. You have opened my ears. You have not required burnt offering and sin offering. Then I said, Behold, I have come. It is written of me in the scroll of the book. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed good news of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your mercy and your truth from the great congregation.